Live Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome to Don't Give Up Radio. This is a special edition just for you. I am so excited that this opportunity has come through. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and this is Don't Give Up Radio, and what we do is look to not only inspire you, but to give you real examples from real people who have been where you are and who have come out on the other side, and they're here to say to you, it is possible for you too, that God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he can do it for you. And many of us are striving to be better, whether that's in our personal lives or whether it's in business. And we have some of the top businessmen in this country on the line right now to talk with me, but mostly with each other. And we get to just be a fly on the wall and listen to the wonderful conversation and life journey that they have had that led them to this point. And I'm just going to give you a rundown of the wonderful men on the show, and then we're just going to go right into it. We have Quincy Bond of Fat Comedy Film Production. He's worked closely with Tyler Perry and done some wonderful work. We have Mr. Errol Brown, executive producer of R&B Divas of L.A., Major Minds, and we also have the wonderful jazz stylings of Mr. Zamil. We're going to actually stick with the format of Don't Give Up. I'm going to ask some basic questions, but then I'm really going to sit back and allow you all to really talk to each other and, as I said, to let the rest of us just be a fly on the wall. So I always like to get an understanding of my guests, where they've been in life and what their journey has looked like. So I'd like to start with understanding, you know, where did you begin in your journey? Tell us a little bit about your humble beginnings, if it was indeed humble, and what your family was like, where you were from, and what the dynamics of your upbringing was. And what I'll do is I'll start with you, Mr. Brown, and then you can kind of navigate through the gentleman.
Okay, sounds good. Yes, I'm Errol Brown, executive producer for EDM Global Music. My humble beginnings, actually I was born in Louisiana, Tampa, Louisiana, small town. And we didn't have a whole lot of faith. We was brought up on a lot of love, integrity, and respect. We was rich in that area, but as far as economics, that wasn't it. So fast forward, moved to California, and, you know, come to California with a mindset of I have to change the next generation of my family. Because prior to this generation here, like I say, we were not well off. Their necessities. And I said, you know, I have to break the paradigm. I have to shift the paradigm and change that. It's just because you're, and I speak to anyone out there, just because your parents didn't have it, your grandparents didn't have it, your uncles and aunts didn't have it, doesn't mean you can't have it. So you have to be that one to say, I'm going to shift the paradigm, and I'm going to hold down the next five generations. So it took that. That energy and that vision to say, I'm going to do something different. So, and come to California, start investing in different businesses and meeting the right people, getting in the right circles, because it's true saying it's all about who you know. But what's more important than who you know and what you know is what you do with what you know. You have to do something with the information and with the contacts you have. So, and with that, I've been able to move through the music industry, television industry, with great artists on the label, also being able to do things with TV One Network, which I'm there now. I'm also, and I'll get into that a little later, I just created a new show as well, a new reality show, and it's going to be an awesome show. It's very positive. It's about, it's a mentoring show, but it's about men. I'm under contract now, so I can't get the name of all the artists I've just signed to the show, as well as the network, but it's going to be really big. But like I said, most of all, it's mentoring and showing our young men how to be men and how to do business and how to break the mindset of I can't. You know, no, you can achieve anything you want to achieve. Only thing stopping you is you. So I'm a big believer in if God gave you a vision, I look at everybody and say everybody's pregnant. What I mean by that is God has given everybody a vision, an idea. He put something in you. but you got to go full term with it and birth your idea, birth your business plan, whatever it is your dreams are. And don't worry about dream killers and those people who set aside to stop you. So here I am. I do a lot of motivational speaking with local colleges. I keynote graduations, and I travel with a group of young men to mentor them throughout the day. I'll take weeks at a time and just take young men with me and show them how do you deal with people, how do you communicate, how do you present yourself, and not with your pants hanging down and talking, you know, broken English. No, you've got to represent yourself. You want people to take you serious. You got to take you serious. Of us who lived on a certain side of a track, you know, we lived on the south end of the railroad tracks, and it was that community of people. The whole idea was I think the highest expectation anyone had there was to just graduate from high school. And then from there, you go on to work at some warehouse or on some yard, and that was it. That was life. And I said, no, it has to be something more than this. And then not only that, we didn't work in them jobs. My parents, they didn't have a lot because I wasn't getting new clothes. And so, you know, when you're not getting the new clothes or the new outfits coming up, kids are cruel. They talk about you. They say things.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you really, and that's when you start to realize I don't have the economics that other people may have. And I know God didn't call me to live beneath my dignity. So I have to do something. And that was, again, not having maybe the latest shoes or the latest clothes or latest gear. And not because my parents didn't want me to have it. Well, they couldn't afford it. And for a child, that's troubling. And so, and I've learned some kids dropped out of school because they didn't have certain things. They felt inadequate. And when you feel inadequate, you don't even want to be seen. And I've noticed the high school dropout or school dropout rates was high because people just felt inadequate and was just embarrassed. So it's easy to not show up and to go through humiliation, you know, until
right.
You're taught different. And so those things are really, really stayed with me. And that's why I deal even today with so many youth, and I make sure that they have things. I make sure that certain youth organizations have things that these kids can thrive and compete. So they don't have to go out there and feel inadequate against their counterpart. That's what drove me.
You know, we've got some great, wonderful people on the line on this call. Gentlemen, is there anything from his story that any one of you can piggyback on and just tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself?
This is Bill Jackie, and I would like to jump in and say it sounds as if he's done some great and wonderful things based on where he's come from. And the thing that I can relate to most, again, this is Zamil, CEO, Zamil for Jazz Experience and Attention Required. I remember clearly, Mr. Brown, growing up in the projects of West Dallas. And I remember playing Army Man on linoleum floors. And we lived
right.
in the projects where there were eight families to a unit. And if somebody
wow.
punched a hole in the wall, you knew everything that was going on in every family on every block. And we
wow.
didn't realize that we were poor because that's the environment that we lived in. And it was a struggle every day. See, I remember the government cheese. I remember the bologna sandwiches. I remember the syrup sandwiches and mayonnaise sandwiches.
Wow.
You know, a three-bedroom apartment that was $60 a month. And I remember my mother getting up at 4 a.m. to go catch a bus to make sure that our kids had something to raise three young men of our own. I remember seeing people dying and not talking about growing or not making it out of that ghetto. And there were a lot of people who didn't make it. And most of the time, people said that we weren't going to make it. But you know what? I was very, very blessed. I won a contest when I was 6 years old in the first grade. And a teacher told me that I had an opportunity to be something. And I believed her. So when you talk about mentoring, you talk about touching somebody's life. One of the things that I think that has happened in our schools and in our homes is that we don't tell our young, particularly African-American men and women, that they have the potential, that they can be somebody. We don't steal that pride in them. And my mother did that for me, and a teacher did that for me. And you know what? I believed it. And I didn't even know that people lived in houses until I was seven, because when you live in the projects and you never know that ghetto, that's all you see. And that's another thing that we need to expose our young people to, that there is life beyond the madness. There is life beyond those brick walls. And I later went on to high school and went on to SMU to get my degree in economics, and I'll never forget this. I'll never forget you talk about defining moments in my life. I went to SMU on a scholarship football. I was an all-star football player. And I'll never forget the coach called me in the office, myself and some other guys, and they talked about we weren't going to get a chance to play because there were new recruits coming in, and no matter how much we did, we weren't going to get a chance to play. I ended up not finishing after my scholarship was up. Left SMU to go start working for the largest transportation company in the world because I was disillusioned by what happened in college. I went back to school 15 years later, get my degree, and the counselor said to me she didn't think that I was going to make it because I was on academic probation and I didn't do well. And I told her, I said, you don't know me. It was never a matter of intellect. It was just a matter of application. And I told her, I don't want to be my counselor anymore. I want somebody else who's going to believe in what I'm doing. And as it turned out, I got my degree in economics. And so the person who told me that I wasn't going to make it ended up being the one that had to sign my graduation papers. So we never know how life is going to turn. And
that's
that
right.
Faith and that belief in yourself, we grew up in the church. We believed it.
Right.
And I still believe today that as long as you have faith and you believe in it, anything is possible. And above all, we are the sum of the choices we make, the chances we take, and the opportunities we create. And I believe that.
That's right. Absolutely. I concur that, brother. Wow. Powerful.
I love it. I love it. Anyone else? Let's keep it going.
This is Donald Wilkins with Major Minds. I feel like, you know, the ones that have made it out of them different situations, it's just our job to, like, pay it forward. You know, just pay it forward and show them that there is opportunity. I know a lot of us talk about, you know, the things that's, you know, things not to do, things that you can do, but when we out of the community, it's like they back to the same thing that they're doing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think
right.
it's just like giving them real resources versus us just going and speaking to them and telling them what they should do and how they, you know, things that they can do to make things better and things that they shouldn't do. It's just I want to get more involved in, not I want to say that every day-to-day basis, but it's getting more involved into the community.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you started out in life. What was your story?
My story is I started out in Virginia with my family. I moved to Ohio when I was like maybe like 8, 9 years old. And in Canton, Ohio is a Hall of Fame city, so it's like there is only 50,000 people there.
Wow.
In Atlanta is 6, in Georgia is 6 million. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like
right.
there was no jobs. I mean, absolutely nothing. It's like a small jungle with no jobs, and you got drugs, and you got everybody cousins, and everybody beefing with each other, killing each other. And you can basically stand on one street and see the whole city drive down it. So we didn't have a south side, north side, east side, west side. It was just northwest, southeast, southwest. So where I'm from was real, real crazy. It was real crazy and no opportunity. And the only opportunity that you did have was like, you know, football and basketball, but that's no real plan. You know, that's like plan B. Growing up in that type of city, it just kind of limits your mind unless you got some real good mentors around you that's keeping you on track. But, okay, and to jump back, then my friends used to tell me to do videos, hold the big video. You know the old camcorders?
Yeah.
They used to want me to
Absolutely.
Hold the camcorders. The old camcorders, and they used to tell me to hold it, to record them while we used to go perform all over the city. And I was like, man, I ain't holding that big old thing. You know what I'm saying? It was just, like, embarrassing. But years later, when I moved to Atlanta, supposed to be here for 2 weeks, I seen how much opportunity it was. I was like, man. All these people, so much opportunity here in Atlanta, Georgia, that you can, like, it's just more people, more possibilities. You know what I'm saying? I was with the music business. I was doing the whole music thing because my little brother, he was like a little computer. He listened to a song one time, and he can perform it like he's been listening to it for years. And I started with the music business. But, of course, you know, with family, you know, people don't really believe in you and don't really take you serious. People on the outside. So I got sick and tired of that, and I ended up getting into my media business. I literally, like, woke up one morning. I had prayed about what I should do, And God just told me to move towards my media business. And I woke up the next morning, and I called one friend, and one of my mentors, she told me that it's a Puerto Rican guy to act just like you. Don't got a lot of money, you got a lot of resources. Y'all to connect, you guys can make, I know you guys can make some miracles happen. And I ended up meeting a guy named CJ, and he ended up giving me my first opportunity, which was for Banana Republic. They was putting out their fashion line. I had did so many videos for my little brother. I was used to doing videos fast, and I was very precise on what I was doing. Yo, I had a video done the next day, within 24 hours, and the guy was just like, hey. He was like, man, you're great. I ain't never seen nobody do a turnaround time like that. After that, my first year, I ended up doing 60 red carpet events, fashion shows with all the different celebrity golf tournaments with Samuel Jackson.
We're going to come back in just a few minutes and talk a little bit more about where you are today. Mr. Bond.
Yes, this is Quincy Bond. First of all, I'd like to say I'm very inspired by all you gentlemen. It's just so great to be amongst the company. Really, really, really appreciate you guys sharing your stories. Also, let me just say,
likewise.
Shout out to, thank you so much to Lady LaDonna Bridgeport Media for even hooking us up. I really appreciate that as well. So,
thank you, LaDonna.
With that said, after listening, I can identify with both sides. As a child, I grew up in Seattle, Washington. So, it was a little bit different for me. I grew up in Seattle. I was raised in Los Angeles. My mother and father were never married, so I would visit my father in the summer and be my mother during the school year in Seattle. So I kind of got to see a little bit of everything. You know, I was exposed to a lot as a child. I'd probably say I had a really, really wonderful childhood. My father wasn't in my life, but my mother did a wonderful job, like everyone's mother generally does in the Black community, a wonderful job of raising myself along with another sibling and a host of cousins that ended up living with us at some point in our lives. So for me, you know, growing up in Seattle, moving to Atlanta, I came down here because being told that you're different than a lot of Blacks, I don't know if you're familiar with the Seattle region, but it's pretty diverse, makes the percentage of Blacks is kind of small there. So you find yourself, you know, in classrooms, the only black kid in classrooms with white kids and Asian kids. And it never really was a big deal to me until I moved to Atlanta, of course, to go to Morehouse. So once I got in to Morehouse, I came down here and I visited Atlanta, and I said to myself, you know what? I like being around Black people that are doing positive things, because being told that you're not like a lot of Blacks or, oh, you're different than most Blacks, it kind of goes to your head a little bit. So I moved down to Atlanta for that reason, to kind of become more affiliated with what was going on in the Black community. So by doing such, going to Morehouse, and then after graduating, I was working for CNN and turned out as an international marketing major, but I found myself extremely unhappy with the 9-to-5 scenario, with the dream that I was told that what it was, and learning now what college is really about, what it teaches you. It doesn't guarantee you a job, obviously, but what it does is it gives you those skills, the thought process of how to go out and instead of go look for a job, just go create a job. And that's kind of what I took from Morehouse for me, which I love that idea of don't go out and look for a job. You go out and you create jobs. And by doing such is how I found myself with Fat Comedy, which is the company that I currently own. It's Fat Comedy, Fat Kids Comedy. And that's how I got on Tyler Perry. Basically, he was looking for comedians and actors to play parts. And he came out to one of our shows where we were performing, and he saw a bunch of comedians, himself and one of his casting directors that he liked. And he invited us all down to the studio, at which point we would be auditioning for various roles. So that's kind of how it got started. And then what happened to me is I'd always kind of known that there was a higher calling on my life. And because I had such a endearing childhood, it kind of hit me that with this power that I have, I really wanted to start a program where kids would learn how to perform stand-up and improv comedy, because I was already in the acting and improv comedy world. So that's kind of how Fat Kids Comedy got started. And since then, we've worked with Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCA. We do lots of volunteer work, Five Arts Association, nonprofit organizations, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I feel like the calling has been placed on my life, because my childhood was everything that it was, is to teach kids that no matter what, you know, nothing's going to replace hard work. And a lot of, I think we've gotten kind of away from it. We've gotten a little lazy. This new generation, I don't know if they appreciate all the work that was done to get us where we are. But, you know, I don't know who said it was time to take a break. But I feel like somewhere along the way, black men have to step in and be fathers to other kids. I mean, I don't have kids of my own, so I definitely enjoy the opportunity to take a young man who does not have a father or male figure in his life and be a role model for that young man.
I said, this is Jamil. I was thinking that's a beautiful thing, and I think there's a nail on the head when you talk about, you know, us black men wanting to be and having to step in and fulfill roles and to be father figures and to be mentors and to be people that's going to help guide them, because I think we headed into a generation of entitlement, and I didn't grow up with a generation of entitlement. We grew up with getting whoopings and having to work for everything that we had. And it's just a different mentality. And I think part of what happened is, and this is an idea for another show, I think a lot of the parents who grew up being friends with their kids and kids running households, that didn't happen in my day and time. And the parents who, and the people, I'm not saying that they were wrong, but I think that a lot of people did too much for the kids. Now, let's ask that question. Did they do too much? Because they took away the struggle, and now you have a lot of kids living in a bubble. And I think part of the struggle, part of what happened is that when you took that struggle away, they don't value things the way we value things when we grew up. And I think that's a major component. And then having men in their life, people that they can look up to other than football players, basketball players, different people. I'm just talking about the guy that's going to work every single day, not bragging and sagging, just trying to live a life with having. So that's where I think the mentoring and helping is great.
And right. I'm enjoying this because you're hitting the key points: networking, mentoring, you know, college, entrepreneurship. These are all things that our young men and our young people need to hear. And when I say young, it's relative, younger than me, who is in their 40s. But, you know, even as you're talking about the millennial specifically, that yes, there's a great deal of give back that needs to come in and come back around to this group of people. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and go deeper.
My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God, for the living God. Incline your ear with trembling and tears of yearning to the throne of grace to see your face. I'm burning, longing for you. I need you. I need you. Nothing, no place, no one else will do. I need you. I need you. For you satisfy the longing inside. I need you. I need you. Nothing, no place, no one else will do. Satisfy the longing inside. Da 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 da. My soul loves and living faith for you. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God, yeah, for the living God. Incline your ear with trembling and tears of yearning to the throne of grace to seek your face. I'm burning, longing for you. I need you.
I need you.
da 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 da.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
I want you to think about that dream moment, that one moment in time when you realize that there was a dream inside of you and a future inside of you. And think about what were the actual challenges like that stood in your way. Mr. Brown, would you like to start us off with that thought?
Of course, I'm going to back up a little bit. When I was about 15 years of age, when I was here in California, I knew that I wanted to be associated. In order for me to change the dynamics of my life, I had to be associated with something. And for me, at 15 years of age, unfortunately or fortunately, it was I wanted to go in law enforcement. I said I can go in law enforcement and I can reach a lot of people and I can talk to people and I can help change lives. And that was just my idea. So long story short, at 20 years of age, I found myself walking across the stage of a police academy, graduating. To this day, I'm the youngest one in the state of California who's ever graduated from a police academy. And it's a kid, again, coming from a poverty-stricken place in Louisiana. And I come to California, and DOJ, the Department of Justice, says you got to be 21 to graduate from police academy because you can't even carry a firearm unless you're 21. Well, somehow they missed it in my background because I was a little bit more mature than what I was. So 2 weeks before graduation, they was telling me that I would not be able to graduate at that class. I would have to come back. They was telling me, trying to gas me up and tell me, hey, you know, it won't be a problem. Come back the next class. You'll lead the class because it'll be like a refreshment course to you. And I'm thinking to myself, I just went through 6 months of hell. It's no way I'm doing this again. So I resisted that notion that I would have to come back. I told them, no, I'm graduating with this class. So they ended up having to send somebody out from DOJ because they didn't want to get sued by getting rid of me after they messed up. That I was to do that only for the discipline that it gave me. And because the discipline, I was able to deal with I went up against the DOJ, the government, and the Ku Klux Klan and anybody else. And I was able to defeat them, thanks be to God. So that gave me the confidence of knowing that, you know what, you can change the world, but you got to believe it. And long as you believe it, you don't let the naysayers or the people who are sitting up in the bleachers tell you anything because they don't know what it takes for you to come down here and get on the court.
Preach.
So you got to learn how to turn haters into elevators. The more they say what you can't do, you go after it that much harder. And so it gave me even all the more confidence. They said, well, you know, he's a little cocky. You know, I'm not confident. I'm not cocky. Now I know who I am. I know my worth now. So now I can walk around and speak boldly. I can speak unintimidated. I can speak without fear. And so those are the things that that I find when I start making moves. You know, that's what they call this thing. And you got to forgive me. I'm big on faith. That's why they call this thing a faith walk. Faith works
right
when you walk. When you start walking towards what you believe and what you know God will do for you, doors will start swinging open. I don't care how many people said no, but God's gonna say yes. And since then,
amen.
I dubbed myself as the entrepreneur extraordinaire, because since then, over the last 17, 18 years, I have owned over 17 companies, everything from top-notch limousine company. I've owned a staffing company, which is an employment agency. I bought out a restaurant called Tony Roma's, turned it into another place called Fusions. I'm doing another sports lounge. I've opened up I own distribution centers, beauty supply distribution center, warehouses, just a host of things. And I'm just getting started in my mind because, you know, God is about to do, and that's why I take a lot of young men with me. Because, and real quick, I'm in this. The reason I take a lot of young men and I teach them that you can do all these things that I do, because most of the men, when I was asked the question, why do our men, our young men in this new era, why is it that they're not standing up and being men? What's happening in our community with our men? And I found out this through all the the work I've been doing in the communities. I found that the reason that we have our men have lost a place in the home, lost a place in the workplace, lost a place in the community, the reason for that is because the majority of men are raised in single-family households. They are raised in a place where the parents or the guardians are all feminine. No disrespect to the ladies. It's all feminine. So what happens is the men, the young men, the only relationship they have with a woman is mom cooking for them, cleaning for them, buying his shoes, buying them this, buying them that. And so when they grow up to be men, they don't look for a woman they can esteem high to themselves. They don't look for a woman they can undergird and lift up. They don't look for a woman they can marry and make them her wife. They're looking for a woman to replace their mother. So now you got these men running around looking for the women to pay for them. Buy me a car, sweetheart. Pay my car note, baby. Pay my house note. See, because that's the only relationship that they've had with a woman. They was never taught that a man is a hunter and gatherer. We don't need nothing from a woman but love, respect, and companionship. But as a man, we're going to go make it happen because that's who we are. We're hunters and gatherers. They have not been taught that. And you know, and so we have to figure this out. We have to realign their thinking in terms of what their relationship should be when it comes to a woman.
Mr. Bond, I'm hearing you chime in with some amens there. I want to go back to the question. I'm just going to ask you for 1 minute because there's so many other things I want to get to with you for this, and I'm glad for all of your openness and participation. This is really heartfelt and awesome. But I wanted to pinpoint that moment, that moment in time, Mr. Bond, Mr. Mines, Mr. Zamil, where you realized you had a dream that you wanted and what was the challenge that stood in your way. Can you just give me like a minute or two on that?
Yes, I definitely will. The moment for me was, like I said, I had moved down to Atlanta from Seattle, but it wasn't easy. When I first came to Morehouse College, they sent that recruiter to my high school, or Garfield High School in Seattle. And when I came down and I applied to Morehouse my first time, I did not get in. I got denied. So I was like, wow, had a pretty high GPA, did get on my SATs. And so that became the challenge to me. So I ended up coming down, taking another trip down and meeting with the president of Morehouse. And, you know, after talking with him, he wanted to meet with me. And after talking to him, I explained to him why I wanted to come to Morehouse and everything, he let me in. And so for that, once that happened, it taught me a very valuable lesson about not giving up. Like, you never know, like the gentleman was saying earlier, if you can have 1,000 no's, but if God wants to say yes, then it's done. It's yours. You just have to live in the light. You have to go get it. So for me, it let me know that no matter what I did, I just, this stranger who didn't know me saw me and wanted to let me in because of my heart. So now when I look at people and I talk to these young men, we just want to see what their heart is, what they're made of. And it set me up for basically a life of servitude. Like, I do want to be a servant because I think that's more important.
Major Mines or Mr. Zamil?
Okay, I can tell you my defining moment. I know exactly what it was. A few years ago, I was asked to help a couple of friends, two families. As a matter of fact, one of my best friends. And ended up being a part of a deal that cost me over $500,000. All of my savings and everything was taken away because I believed in someone who I had known for 40 years, who, quite frankly, got a part of a deal again to bail them out and ended up, you know, bailing them out and then losing it myself and then with an additional family. And then at the same time, my job decided that they were going to cut back. This is a place that I've been to forever. I said they were going to cut back on managing people. And I remember after losing all that money and losing everything I had, I only allowed myself to grieve for one day. And a voice told me,
That's right.
I thank God for that moment. I thank God for that moment. A voice said, it's time, because I've had the music and the writing and the poetry in me all of my life, but I never did anything with it. And it wasn't until everything on my future seemed to be taken away from me that I realized, and I woke up that day and said, today it's time. And I started writing. I started putting together my books, my manuscripts, and all those things. And I know that's my gift. And I told people, you know, time and time again, and I believe it now, I have this phrase. I said, your gift is your lift. And at that defining moment in my life, I made a plan. I set the goals. I said, this is where I want to be in 3 years, 5 years, and 7 years.
and I put that thing on paper, and that moment changed me forever. Because as you guys have said before, you have those moments, and when you fall down, you've got to get up. You can't stay down.
That's right.
Every day there's going to be somebody that's going to try to take it away from you, every day. But you have got to be the person to get up on your feet and go get it. You got to stand it and plan it, and most of all, demand it.
That's it. Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, that was. I mean, yes, you're definitely right about that. You got to take ownership. You got to boss up on that.
Right. It's your responsibility.
Right.
It's your responsibility.
Right.
Your future is your responsibility.
You can't procrastinate. You got to take action. It say faith without works is dead, which means faith plus action. You got to put action behind your faith. God said, "You move, I move." Just like that. You
That's
can't
right.
move. You don't move, I ain't moving.
That's
you
right.
Gotta,
That's right.
You know. So
you know.
You got to go for it.
And don't be afraid, you know, and don't be afraid of failure, because you talked a moment ago, Mr. Brown, you're talking about the not having the fear. And that's one of the issues that's with us along with all those things you said. I agree with you about that man thing, that whole situation. But we find fear. It's easy to be afraid. It's easier not to go forward and to do. It's hard to step forward and step out there on faith when you don't believe in something, because it's so easy to be knocked down. But you cannot allow the people to tell you you can't do it. You have to have a faith.
That's right.
You have to have it in you enough to believe it and know that nothing can stop you if you have God on your side and you believe that it can be done. Nothing.
You're right.
And like he said, once you realize who you are, once you realize that, that's when it's like, what am I afraid of? It's like,
right.
I know who
that's
I am.
Your purpose. Yeah, that's
I know
yeah,
my
yeah,
power.
Know,
I know I have dominion.
Absolutely.
I have dominion over the whole world.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Once you find your purpose and your gift, it's over.
Thank you guys for going there. You're bringing this up. Let's target this area. You know, on my show, I often bring up Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall
be
saved. And I tell people that that's where it begins. That's where the relationship starts, right? And here we are. You are all men of faith. This is awesome because a lot of people don't associate people in business, men in business, men who are successful, with being men of faith. And so I love the fact that you're just putting it out there. So now I want to hear from you. When you went through your crisis, your don't give up moment, what was it in your faith? What was it that was so grounded in you? Talk to us about what from that helped you through, because when we talk about this generation or the millennials, that's something that they're kind of missing as well. So if you could bring that part of your life to light and share how your faith actually pulled you through your crisis moment, that would be awesome.
Well, I guess I can start first. It's just, I guess the people was just my motivation, my friends, my family, me being down here in Atlanta, being so young, and I'm basically taking care of 13 family members. And it was so much, all the bills getting turned off. It was just so much crazy stuff that was going on.
Right.
But as I'm talking about cold water, electricity getting turned off, cable getting turned off, computers shutting down, all types of stuff going down. They think Major Minds is Major Minds, but behind closed doors, Major Minds, it was like, wow, it was amazing. But anyways, but what kept me going through all the struggles and like all of that was just, when I looked around and looked at my friends, looked at the family and said, everybody, like, I have a power and a gift that I can utilize to end all that can help everybody. And I'm like, I feel like I'm the closest person that's there that can change that. And my heart is in the right place. My mind is in the right place. And I'm not afraid anymore, and I'm ready to move forward and walk into my destiny and make it happen. I mean, because if I have to, I mean, if I'm successful, everybody, I mean, you know, I can be a blessing to everybody else. So that's what really pushes me. And that's what keeps me going and fighting through, that helped me fight through the hard times when I felt like, you know, like taking, you know, like, you know, it's not even worth living. It's too much stuff going on. I mean, think
Absolutely.
Something bad, everything went bad, went wrong, something else goes wrong.
Right.
And it's something every day.
Right.
Love will push you through.
Earl Brown here. It was kind of somebody broke it down to me a long time ago. He gave me a different perspective. It came from Psalms 23:4, and it said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So he told me, he broke down fear to me. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real.
I remember that.
Fears, false evidence, appearing real. And so when I was coming up and making these moves and wanting to do certain things, and I had, again, I had the naysayers against me. People don't want to see you do better. And many times people don't want to see you do better. You know why? Because they don't like what they are. So they don't want to see you do better. And so they start to tell you things, and sometimes people even try to sabotage what you're doing. So now I learned not to even project a lot of things to certain people because they will sabotage you. But he taught me that you can't be afraid because, you know, and I broke that thing down. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow, and I can stop right there. The shadow. This thing is a shadow. This ain't even real. This is just a shadow. So you can't. You gotta stop being afraid of your own shadow. This thing is a shadow. They said walk. Although they walk through the valley of the shadow. Right there, we can stop right there. So now knowing that I'm dealing with just a shadow, Lord, I gotta start speaking in power. You know, demand certain things. I gotta speak with the authority that God has given me. So even when I go through whatever business ideas I'm working on, I don't. Whatever the challenges are, I learn to speak to that. I speak to my situation. You know, whatever challenge it is, I'm speaking that it get behind me. I'm speaking that the mountains, you know, having the faith the size of a mustard seed. So I'm internalizing and actualizing these words of the Bible. It said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell a mountain to move from here to there. Well, that mountain is whatever challenges that's in front of you. You got to speak to your situation. And as long as you speak to it, it has to move. If you're a believer in God, and if God is who he say he is, this has to happen.
I can't lie.
I look back at it has to happen. His word has to accomplish what it was sent out to do. So in that now, I go around and I teach people to operate in faith and not just saying the words, because we can all say the words, but no, you walk it. Let me see it in your action. You can tell me anything, but let me see it in your action. Now I'm going to measure you by that. Because, you know, and that's where you teach that's the application being taught now of the word. How do I apply that to my life? And I'm a minister with the AME Church. I'm with the AME Church, and I'm a minister on staff as well. Even though I'm in the music business in the secular world, I don't buy
all
that
right.
Because I'm in the music industry. I can't be, or if I'm in the ministry, I can't be in the secular world. And we'll talk about that at some point in time. But yeah, you gotta you gotta walk in what you believe, and that's how God works. He wanna know, is your heart right? Do you believe this? Are you going to believe what the economist says? Are you going to believe what anybody else say around you? Is it my report you're going to believe? He asked. I'm going to believe his report. The report to say I can do all things through him that strengthens me. And so those are the things that encourages me. It's really just getting the application of the word. And when it comes to doing business, either you become an entrepreneur or you work for one.
You know, Mr. Zamil, I want to make sure we're not getting you lost in the crowd here. You know, how does your faith pull you through those challenging times, those crisis moments that we all face that say to us, you know what, why do I keep doing this? Why don't I just throw in the towel? Why do I keep pushing myself forward? This is too difficult, or whatever the thought may be in your mind. How does your faith bring you through?
Well, I can tell you that I mentioned to you prior to the show, I wrote a poem called Don't Give Up. And I didn't mention earlier that I was diagnosed with colon cancer a little while back. And it was a rare place, and it was a rare time. And I can tell you that there is no preparation for that conversation when that doctor comes and tells you that. And in the midst of everything else that was going on, and with the finance and all those things, and the people who gave me the sad stories and what was and what could be and all those things, I simply believe that, you know what, this is not my time. And a voice said, this is not your time. And I heard that. And I think that sometimes we miss that calling. Sometimes we have to learn to discern what that voice is, and if that is the voice of God, and if that message is saying to you what it is that you need to do. And then we have to follow it and have the faith to believe in that it's going to make it. And I got to tell you, when I got that news, 28 days later, my cancer was gone. We took care of it.
Amen.
The doctor went in there and they got it. But what motivates me every day is knowing that I have that gift, knowing that I have that purpose, knowing that I have to believe and that faith is tied to something. Even in my tithing, I can tell you that I remember when I was younger, I didn't tithe very much because I didn't believe it was, you know, if I gave it away and I didn't have it. It was, you know, I was never going to get it again. And so I said, no. But one day I trusted God enough to believe, and he would do what he said. And I started giving, and I started tithing. And do you know every time that I tithe now, I never miss that money. I never miss money, and I'm not caught up into, that thing. And I think we get too caught up sometimes in the petty. We get too caught up in that fear, what you talked about a moment ago. We get too caught up in what other people are saying. But you should be motivated by the gift that you have and exalting that gift. And that's what drives you every single day, because I know I have a word. I know I can put words and rhymes and melodies together that would move you, that would excite you, and that would inspire you. I know that is in me. And that is when you take that gift and you take that gift, you take that belief, you align it with purpose, and you cement it in faith. And at that point, anything is possible.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hey!
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
We do need to take the time to be still before God and hear how he's telling us to move in a given situation and circumstance. Hear what he's saying to us in terms of, is this the final word or not? And you would be absolutely amazed at how, when you listen to his voice alone, he really does guide and direct you through the areas that you need to be in order for you to grow and develop and see that he is not just, in the pages of a book, but our God is actually very much living and alive right now. Mr. Brown, I want you to take the floor for about, 10, 15 minutes or so and get into some really business type questions. You brought up something fantastic. Maybe you can start there with this issue of believers being in every part of industry that's legal and why that is actually beneficial as opposed to this mindset of fear that we often teach our young people, like you can be a teacher or you can be a doctor, but, don't go into Hollywood. And, I admire Mr. Devon Franklin and how he stood up to say, if God is God, then he's going to be God in Hollywood as well as he's going to be God here in this little corner. So why don't you start us off with that conversation and how you guys have navigated having your faith and being in the secular industry?
Right. I think it's important that we as black people understand, first of all, the American dream. Start talking about business. Start thinking about business. Start thinking about the American dream. My belief is the American dream, the way they put it, wasn't really, they didn't have us in mind, to have a go get a job, work, 40, 50 years and retire and, go off and live in the sunset. That was kind of their dream. That was their dream. That wasn't my dream. And I think for so many of us, we have to understand that in order for us to be successful, in order for us to reach mountains and reach heights that we were once deemed that we could reach, we have to make these things happen for ourselves. We can't wait for someone to give us anything. We have the minds to create. So for me, it's about creating business, teaching our people how to do business. It's an art to doing business. You just can't just do it without having the skill set. We teach business. We must teach one another to be a business. Let's incorporate businesses. It's a difference between a sole proprietorship and a corporation. I am one of my companies. I build corporations, whether it's nonprofit organizations, for profit, 501c3 nonprofits, S corps, C corps. I build them. And the reason that that's so important when we're doing business is if we are a business and we're just a sole proprietor, well, then on the major scale of business, we start thinking about international business and global business. They don't take you serious as a sole proprietor. You could have been around for 10, 20 years, but as a sole proprietor, they see you as someone who don't have the ability to leave the neighborhood in terms of doing business, which that may not be the case. You could probably develop a product that you can sell all over the world. But until you make yourself a corporation, they're going to still look down upon you. And that's because banks don't bail out. Even when the crisis, banks didn't bail out individuals. And so a sole proprietor falls under individual. So banks don't bail out individuals. They bail out corporations. And not only that, federally, there's so much money for corporations. All you got to do is just go and incorporate your business. Under $1,000, get yourself incorporated. Now you are on the global scale, identified as a business. Me, myself, as a sole proprietor, Errol Brown, I can go into the bank, ask for $150,000. They're going to tell me no. But if I go back to my office, build my corporation, just to show that it's a corporation, now I go back to that bank and say, I need $150,000. They're going to give it to me. Well, and it's ironic because I was thinking they wouldn't give it to me, the person, Errol Brown, but they gave it to my business, but I'm the same person owning this business because it's the way it's set up. You got to understand the structure. It's structured to give money to businesses, to corporations, not a sole proprietor. Because why? Most of the minority businesses are sole proprietorships. So you got to understand the rules of the game, understand the players of the game, and only now and then, and only then are you ready to play the game. So you got to go, so these businesses, we got to take them out of mom and pop status and get them into corporations.
in order for them to truly be able to maximize their full potential and some of the financial access that's been blocked from them expanding, growing their business, or even just opening a business, we can move through that. We can bypass some of that, and we can start getting into the race. Because right now they're blocking our access because of the way we're structured. So business is very important, and understanding how you need to be set up as a business is equally as important. And that's going to be the thing that gets you to the next level. And my success in terms of opening up several, you know, like I said, 16 businesses, not because I was some genius, but because I realized, you know what, I have to structure my businesses in such a place to where I can get access. And so I asked you other brothers, you know, I don't know if you are incorporated, if so, or you know other people out there, business friends or associates who are not incorporated, you need to definitely encourage them to look into someone, whoever's doing incorporation, to incorporate their business for them to truly maximize on all the finances that's available out there. But they only set up for corporations.
I think that's excellent information, Mr. Brown. I think that's outstanding information, because one of the things I believe also is that we don't know. If we don't know, we don't know. I remember Mr. Brown said, if we knew better, we would do better. And I believe that we have to teach each other, and we have to get away from something someone alluded to earlier, but this crab in a barrel type mentality and maintaining and honing in and not spreading information and knowledge, that's something else as a people we need to get better at doing. And listening
that's
to
right.
you and listening to these gentlemen on the phone right now, I can really appreciate the conversation and the dialogue that we're having, because this is something that's needed more and more, not just, you know, here, but this is something that needs to go everywhere. Because between our young people and what we have to deal with on a daily basis, knowledge, we have to understand that, yes, knowledge is power, but the wisdom to do with those things that you know is what really takes you over the top. And we have to learn, we have to teach each other, and we have to help each other.
You are definitely right about that.
People play us on lack of knowledge.
Yes, sir. I definitely agree with that. We definitely have to be transparent. We definitely have to give each other the information. And Les Brown is right, you know, is that we don't know better, then we can't do better. So it is important that we share this information and we build one another. I can't make it without, you know, other brothers. I can't make it without you guys. I'm not doing it for my own, but also I also learned in my building, and I see, and this is from the faithful side, that when I ask God to when I'm praying about these businesses, when I'm praying so I could help be a great role model for the young men or even the women, our young women that's coming up who need to see strong black men in places that's making things happen, I always pray, always remember this. I'm a firm believer that if you're praying for God to do something for you and it's not going to benefit no one but you, he's not going to do it. Your prayer has to be something because it's not about you. It's not about glorifying me. When I ask God to open up the door for me, it's because, Lord, if you bless me, then I'm going to make sure that I'm going to use everything you've done so I can help somebody else's dream come to pass. See, sometimes I got to set aside my own affairs so I can help somebody else's dream come true. And that's why he said, the Bible says, I bless you so you can be a blessing to others. And what you've done for the least of them, you've done unto me. And that reads in reverse. What you have not done unto the least of them, you have not done for me. So for me, I'm always praying about your prayers have to be connected to where it's going to change somebody else's life, where it's going to transform somebody else's life. Because God is not about elevating us as individuals, but to him be the glory. And through, you know, through his blessings, we're going to be faithful and be responsible. Because God want to know, when I give you these blessings, can I trust you? When I bless you with everything I'm going to give you, can I trust that you're going to do what I ask you to do, or are you going to take it for yourself? And so that's very important when we're praying, that make sure that our prayers are tied to making somebody else's life better. And that's God have always responded to me when I pray in such prayer.
And see, the thing is, why you want the whole pie? You don't want to give your
right.
brothers nothing, your brothers and sisters nothing. You just going to be over there
right.
eating all up like,
And be stingy and be selfish.
You're going to eat the whole pie over there.
You can't do that.
Like,
no, No, man, you can't do that because, you know, at the end of it, what you do for yourself, you take with you. It goes nowhere. But what you do for others
That's
is
right.
planted. And once you plant a seed,
That's right.
it brings forth other seeds. And the more that you grow and you allow somebody else to grow, the better we all get. And that's a sermon, but we don't want to do it because we want to keep it to ourselves because we think somebody else is going to take it away from us and we want to hold on to it.
And see, you can't build a business like that. You can't build it. You can't. See, if you make it all the way to the top, everybody can fall. But if you build legs and help other people come up along the way, then you would never fall because they'll always catch you. But if you don't build no legs, don't help nobody out, all the way to the top, you got all this money. And when that day comes and anything happens, it just hit the fan and you don't got nothing. You don't got nowhere to fall on. Nobody to ask, can I borrow some money? Can I do this? Can you help me with this? You ain't help nobody. You can't ask somebody to help you.
You can't make it like that. We all at some point in time be somebody. And the more that the more we help each other, we all come up. The more we do for one another.
Right.
And the more knowledge and wisdom and things that we put and instill in our young people, particularly as I mentioned earlier, at a very young age, the better off we're all going to be. And until we understand that premise, that we are better united together than we are singular and apart doing our own thing, because at some point in time, you're going to need somebody to do something to help you get somewhere or to get something done that you want to get done.
You have a lot of foreigners that come over here to America with little education, no money, but they put their little nickels and dimes together and they put their hands and they all help each other on that one project, and they come up and they end up building small businesses that grows into big businesses, and then they help their people out.
And that's something,
cleaners,
that's something
donut shops, chains.
Right. We have to start working together. We have to get back to unity. Our unity, I mean, I understand our history has been lost. And actually, when they took us, they brought us here, they stripped us of our culture. We have no culture. And what I mean by that, when I say we have no culture, we all black, but we don't have a real culture. Hispanics
and sense of identity
come here, and they have a culture. Every other race can come here, and no matter where they are in America, they still do things that's culturally done in their culture. Well, we don't have a culture, so black people, for the most part, depending on where you grew up at, that's your culture. So that's why you bring different black people together, and there's a big fight. Because why? Because the people who grew up in the hills, they act a little different from the brothers who grew up over, in the south side or whatever, because the people who grew up around the Beverly Hills area, the upper class neighborhood, they start taking on those traits. Well, the brothers who grew up in the lower class area, they take on those traits, opposed to like other cultures, no matter where they are, were they in the ghetto or were they at the top of the hills, they still operate in a culture. And so that's why they have unity. We don't have a culture. We act different, no matter, depending on what state, what city, where you are, because we don't have a culture that we always go back to say, okay, no matter where we are, we operate under a certain banner. We don't have that. So we have to create, we have to somehow figure this thing out and get our culture together. So no matter where I'm at, whether I'm talking to the brothers at the bottom of the hill or the top of the hill, we have a certain culture, a respect amongst each other as black people, men and women, and we have to operate with such. And then I think that right there will bring back that unity that we're missing, and quit trying to, it's time out for us competing with each other. No, I got to help you, because if I build a strong base, I want to help all my brothers that's struggling. Why? Because like someone just said, if you build a strong base, if you fall, somebody going to catch you. But if you just top heavy, that thing going to come, at first sign of wind, that thing is coming down. Because it's top heavy, you have no base. I like to build broad, strong bases. So if I ever fall, I'm going to go, and listen, if I help 10,000 people, if I ever fall, I got 10,000 people I can go to help give me a little help. And with those 10,000 I've helped build, I'm going to be all right. And so that's what's important. Build, because as long as you keep the young men uneducated, And keep them and with a criminal mindset because of poverty, because they don't have anything. Well, crime is going to always run rampant because poverty breeds crime regardless of race. You put poverty anywhere, you're going to have crime everywhere. Because why? They're trying to survive. Not that they're bad people. if I don't have nothing to eat, I have no money, nobody's hiring me, I can't get a job because of my color of my skin. At some point, and I got kids to feed, at some point, only Lord knows what I'm going to end up having to do just so I can eat. And it's not that a person's a bad person, and that's what I always look at. That's
so
why it's very important for us
story.
Brothers in here who know who we are to definitely, you know, be a strong stance in our community. I'm the first one. I say it every day. I carry the banner. I wear the shirt. I'm carrying the banner. Say, we're going to get our men back. Because even the men that's in prison, we got some of the brightest minds in prisons who can build businesses and build buildings. We got some of the brightest men right now locked up. Create a brotherhood and start back doing business and loving one another and being, and I do men empowerment conferences, and the first thing I say when they walk in is, first of all, men, we got to stop lying to each other. We got to be transparent and be real with each other, because if I need y'all to be my accountability partners, y'all need to know the real, what my challenges are, what my vices are. So
you guys are having a great time, and the time is going so quickly. We're going to pause for a minute. When we come back, we're just going to tighten it up a little bit and talk about specifically your source of motivation, and it's going to be more of the same fabulousness that I've been listening to for the past few minutes. Thank you.
I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
I am grateful for
the things
that
you
have
done. Look at them and tell them, yes, I'm grateful.
The
victories that we've won. Tell them I could go on and on.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful, so grateful, just to praise you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Grateful.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
All right, wonderful. And we are back with some wonderful gentlemen who've just been sharing and pouring out their heart. And we have been able to be flies on the wall as they share with one another and just gleaning from that. But now in the last few minutes of the show, I wanted you to take some time to speak to the audience about what motivates you, your staying power. I think you touched on that a bit earlier, but I just want to have very clear ears here so those people will know how to apply it for them.
Well, Errol Brown here. My motivation is to I put a quest out for myself to really have a strong impact in the world, and I really want to change the world. And I can do it one city at a time, one state at a time. So what motivates me is every day when I leave my home and I see our young men in the community not working, when I go to all these different stores, going to the mall, I see my young men not working. I see everybody is at the counter other than my young men. It's like something has to be done. When I go to these different franchises, and I walk in there and I look at the employees, when I see no blacks being employed, I'm thinking, for me, I know that that motivates me to say there's so much work I have to do. There's so much more work I have to do so I can help fight this unemployment rate amongst our young men. Because if not, I hate to see what black America looks like in 20 years. If we don't do something about this right now, so for me, it's bigger than me. We have to make a difference because I have a daughter. I have a 21-year-old daughter. And from the pool that's out there for her to even choose from, it's scary. So that motivates me to make sure that I'm getting our young men prepared to take on the baton so we can pass the baton. Because if we don't prepare these men, then how are they going to take our place? So it's about me helping, absolutely. So for me, my motivation is seeing the disparity of our quality young men. It that motivates me every day when I see it. And so for that fact, I got to keep pushing and keep moving until we make a difference and an impact. I'm sorry.
I was just going to share really quickly that I'm in New York City, and the police here just did a sweep of the project. And they just pulled down like 200 young boys, right, quote-unquote gang affiliation. And so everything you're saying, my heart is going out to that because it is absolutely a need everywhere, not only in New York City, but in every state across the country. Continue on.
Yes.
Yes, I was just saying, and on the other end of that spectrum, what motivates me being raised by a single woman is when I see these black women out here struggling to raise these kids alone. It just breaks my heart. And as a black male, at some point in your life, if you don't see this and it does not affect you, then something's wrong with you, because it affects
something's
me every
wrong.
Time I
Absolutely.
See it.
Something's
Absolutely. Wrong. If you can see that,
Definitely.
Look at it as a black male, not feel like a failure to your community. And even though I may not personally be a failure, I feel like, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And so for me, it
That's right.
just breaks my heart to the point where I have no choice but to be motivated to help our whole community. And as much as the black
yes,
males
sir.
Are going through it, when I see the black females going through it, because they have been the ones holding up the community, and I just, you know, I know everybody gets a little bit antsy when a black woman has a little bit of an attitude or acts a certain way, but look at what she's been through and what's going on. Of course she has an attitude. I mean, if you were her, you probably would too, having to deal with a lot of what we put them through. So I just, it motivates me to keep me grinding and moving to try to make sure that more black families can kind of remain intact, and we can figure out how to get the black family back together from the female family.
Yes, sir.
I totally agree and concur with both what you both said. What motivates me every single day is seeing the need, because there's a need for us to be out there. There's a need for a word to be heard every single day. And so many of our young men, as it was mentioned earlier, grew up with the single parents and mothers and their whole misguided idea of what a man should be like.
Yes.
No one can teach a man how to be a man but a man. And he has to be
That's
that
right.
stand-up righteous person. And so, and I'm not, you know what, I do secular stuff. I mean, I don't preach
a sermon to a kid as though a preacher would do it. I'm coming to you from a real life perspective. You know, you have to stand up, and as I said earlier, take responsibility for yourself. And you know what? It starts at home, and stop blaming everybody else for what you're going through and your problems, because a lot of these things you brought up on yourself. Yes, your environment makes a difference. Yes, the conditions make a difference. But it's the choices that we make too often, and it's what's happening at home that's not doing what it's supposed to do when you walk outside those doors. And what motivates me most is knowing that we those things that you talked about earlier, seeing what's going on with the young black men and women, seeing what's going on with women who are alone, and you feel bad for them because you know the choices are very few, and that makes you feel bad. So what motivates me is making a difference. And if the words that I say, that I write, and the melodies and the words touch somebody and moves them, then I've done something. Because if I have not moved you mentally, then I have done nothing in my word and in my message. And that is my thing, Kyle. That's what keeps me going, because I know I have a message. I know this is my gift. And it is my duty to pass that gift on to help someone else. So that's my motivation, and that's my staying power, because more than anything, there is a need, and they need all of us to be a part, as you said a moment ago, as the solution, to be a part of that and not a part of the problem. And the only way we're going to do that, and we're going to do it together, because not having this culture that yes, you could say this man did it, white man did it, this culture did it. At the end of the day, we have to take responsibility for our own selves, our own lives, our own future, our own culture, and our own race. And unless we come together and do it with one another, it's never going to happen, because they're too caught up in seeing everything that's on TV. They're too caught up with false images. They're too caught up with taking shortcuts and not understanding that you got to be able to put in the work every single day, and it's not going to happen overnight for everybody. And understanding that there's going to be some cost to it, that there is some cost to what it is that you have to do, and your values have to change. You have to change, and you have to want to be good. You have to want to not be a part of the struggle. You have to want to get out. And I think that comes with instilling that in them from a very, very young age. The older ones, we're not too late, but I have to go back to, we have to start with them at young, and when they're young, and we have to start with them at home, and we have to teach it to them and let them know, hey, there are some things that really, at the end of the day, it comes down to the choice. Conditions, yes, but you got to also take that responsibility for what you do with your life and what you do with yourself. And seeing those things motivates me. They motivate me in my writing. They motivate me in my actions and in everything that I do.
That's right.
What motivates me is being able to, I know, like, when I do videos, I'm able to help people because I have such a big gift. I can create these powerful videos that can get people excited about purchasing a person's services, you know what I mean, or going to that person's hair salon because I made a video. So, you know what I mean, I made it so exciting, it makes, you know, it makes a person want to go shop at somebody's place, or it gives them a celebrity type look to where people get interested in that person's brand. And a lot of people I work with, they told me that my videos has helped them get sponsorship, has helped them get on TV shows, has helped them get more clients and more business. When I hear that, it gets me excited. It makes me happy to know that I have such a gift that, you know, I'm able to utilize it to help the people. You can be a bum on the street, and I can create some type of video that can create you some money, a product.
I need you to create me a video.
I would say I'm the fastest video editor in the world.
Dude, we need to talk.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. Gentlemen, I'm so touched by what you shared today. I am a single mom who's raised three kids. They're all in their 20s now, and I just finished my book, Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity, which talks about my 15-year journey with abstinence and celibacy. So shout out to TV1 with Born Again Virgin there, that wonderful concept that is kind of sweeping the country now, this idea that we can maintain abstinence until the Lord brings that right person into our lives. So, you know, I just thank you for edifying us as women and edifying our young people. My son actually went to an all-boys public school here in New York City called Eagle Academy, and the foundation is looking to duplicate these schools where they're really doing what you're saying, mentoring, making sure they understand networking and getting into college, but also understanding entrepreneurship. I mean, everything you've talked about is so dead on. I'm convinced that we need a part two just to cover the whole money and women and business and how to juggle and navigate it on. So if you're open to it, I'd love to have you back on again. You guys have been great
Absolutely.
Guests.
Absolutely. Special, anytime.
Special. Great. Thank you so much. I loved hearing that. That's awesome. And, of course, a special shout-out, Lady LaDonna. Thank you so much for putting
this together.
Thank you, Lady.
Thank
you,
Lady.
She is the founder and CEO of Bridgepoint Media and Entertainment. And you can find her on various social media outlets as well, from Instagram to Facebook to LinkedIn. She's everywhere as LaDonna, LaDonna, Lady LaDonna. And gentlemen, I will make sure to make it clear and plain where each of you can be found. But if you could each take a turn and say where people can connect with you and maybe a upcoming project that they should keep their eyes open for.
Okay, this is Zamil. I'm at attentionrequired.com. It's E-Arab is Zamil on Facebook, at Zamil on Twitter. I have a CD called Look For a Timeless, a jazzy poetic R&B ride, and an upcoming book called Love Unleashed that is going to revolutionize poetry. It's going to allow you to look into poetry and to hear the heart and the mind and soul of a man who looked at love, life, inspiration, and motivation from a very personal literal standpoint and not something that's abstract, so you'll be able to take the words and apply it to your life in your everyday living. So again, it's Zamil at attentionrequired.com. That is the website. ERB is Zamil on Facebook, at Zamil on Twitter. Thank you, Jackie, and thank you, Lady. And guys, thank you. This has been a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, this is Errol Brown here. I can be reached at edmglobalmusic.com, edmglobalmusic.com. You can reach me there. Also, you can reach me on Twitter, at Errol Brown 7. My name is spelled E-R-R-O-L, and Brown, B-R-O-W-N, and the number 7, which is the number of completion. So that you can reach me there. Again, stay tuned on Twitter, as I will be revealing the new TV show that I wrote. It's a reality show based on music. Got some of the greatest R&B artists in the business that's a part of the show. And, again, I will be revealing that over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be a big hit. So definitely stay tuned. I appreciate everyone. I appreciate you, Jackie, for having us on here. I appreciate you, Lady LaDonna, for putting this all these gentlemen together. It's some great, great, great gentlemen. And I look forward to even staying in touch with you gentlemen so we can even continue our work together. No matter what state we're in, together we can still move mountains. We're going to link up arm to arm, shoulder to shoulder, and faith to faith, and we're going to make things happen for our young men. Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Quincy Bonds, I can be reached at Fat Comedy, P-H-A-T, comedy.com is our website, as well as Facebook, Quincy T. Bonds, Instagram is Fat Comedy. And, yeah, once again, thank you guys so much, Lady LaDonna and Jackie. Thank you for having us, and I look forward to also conversing with you gentlemen more in the future. I don't know who's in Atlanta. But if any of you gentlemen are interested in getting together for lunch and coming up with a master plan, please do so. I've got events we do. The Five Arts Festival is we focus on Five Arts. We have another event coming up at Morehouse School of Medicine in June. We did our first event at Morehouse School of Medicine last month, and it was a huge success. And we focus on kids and the Five Arts, literary, and up to performing arts and graphic arts, everything. So,
Awesome.
Okay. Well, this is Donald Wilkins with Major Minds. Right now, y'all, I can be reached at majormindsmedia.com.
You've been listening to Don't Give Up Radio with Jackie Wayans. This has been just a wonderful experience, and I'm just so blessed that these gentlemen took their time to give their heart to share. And this has been something that I know will bless many, many for weeks and years to come. But until then, until our next episode, I want you to continue to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on the cross. Until next time, God bless.
Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
No.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.